Good morning. How's everybody doing today? You know, I didn't check to see if my cell phone's on silent, so it is. Praise God. All right. Have you been watching the Olympics at your home? Hasn't it been awesome? I mean, it just seems like yesterday was the opening ceremony, but tonight is actually the closing ceremony. How quickly the Olympics have gone by. I've loved watching all the different sports. The track and field, that's kind of one of my favorites. I ran a little bit of track in college, like halfway around, and then I fell over. But just a little bit of track. I love watching the swimming, of course. The wrestling, not just the wrestling that goes on in my house, but the stuff on the TV. My boys love the archery, all the different sports. What is this race walking thing? I didn't even know that was a sport. I thought that was just the older ladies at the mall. But this is actually a sport, and it looks to be really cool. But as we watch the Olympics, each one of us sits back on our couch with our remote in our hand, and back in the deep part of our mind, we think, wouldn't it be cool if I could run like that guy? What if we could swim like Michael Phelps? Or if we could fly through the air like that gymnast? Wouldn't that be awesome? And then I look in God's Word, and there's nothing in here about swimming or jumping or race walking. But there is something in here that's commanded for us to do. We're going to look at this morning, and that's love one another. And if loving one another were an Olympic sport, and all that we did was up on HD, high definition, for the whole world to watch every move we make, what would that look like? If the way we love one another was not a contest where we're trying to outdo each other, but the standard is actually God and His love, how well do we measure up? This summer, we're going through a series called Who is Like Our God? And we've looked at different aspects of God. We looked at the Trinity, His holiness, how He's unchangeable. He's eternal, He's infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, righteous. And now the love of God. Those are concepts that it's really difficult for us to even get our minds around. Who is really like our God? Who really loves like our God? Now, I'll be honest. The first time I walked in those doors, and they looked a little different back then, was over 6 years ago. And I came, my family came because of the preaching. But as many of you who are still here, you stay because of the people. It's because the love of God is present in this body. And there's a lot of love here. When there's a need, a family in crisis, people come. They come to lend a shoulder to cry on. They write notes and cards and calls and voicemails and emails. They give flowers and they give lots of good food. People in this church really know how to love. When there's a family in transition, we'll have a bridal shower or a baby shower. We'll collect diapers for that family. When there's a need, we'll bring bags of clothes that don't fit us anymore to give the homeless, or cases of water or soap or packages of socks and t-shirts to show our love. But God's Word says we're supposed to even love more. His standard is not, are we loving each other as much as the guy next to us, but his standard is himself. And does our love reach that high? We're supposed to give more than just old clothes. We're supposed to make more than just a casserole. We're supposed to give more than just our 10%. God's standard of love is very, very high. This morning, we're going to look at God's love, and we're going to answer a few questions. What is the source of this love? That means, where does it come from? We're going to look at what is the evidence, which means, what does it really look like? And then we're going to answer the question, what is the purpose? And that means, what's the point of all this love? We're going to look at loving people, loving each other the way God does. Let me open this up in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You how it instructs us, how it molds us into the image of our Savior. Lord, I pray that this morning my words would be your words, Lord. As your Apostle Paul said, give me the words to fearlessly express the mystery of your gospel. Make us accountable to not only what we study, what we read, what we hear, but also what we do. We pray this all in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking in the book of 1 John. If you open your Bibles there, if you're new to the Bible, and if you don't have one, we have some in the back. The guys can grab one for you. 1 John's kind of towards the end. The last book in the Bible is the book of Revelation. Right before that is a little book called Jude, and then 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. Now, 1 John is different than the Gospel of John that's at the beginning of the New Testament, written by the same guy, but there's your three shorter epistles towards the end of the Bible. We're going to look in the book of 1 John in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let me start by reading this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. One of the first things we're going to recognize when we look at this section about love is the source of love is God. God is the source of love. If you're writing notes or taking down points, that would be the first one. God is the source of love. Now, we think we have love figured out, right? We know we're not omniscient. We know we don't have the justice and mercy of God. We know we're not as holy as Him. But love, we think, I'm pretty good at that one, right? We see love everywhere. We love our family, we love the country, and we love Bluebell ice cream. Amen? Amen? All right. See, we love. We know what love is. Love is used everywhere. It's used in songs, right? We're looking for it, we're finding it, or we're losing it. It's used in commercials to sell Hallmark cards. Love is used to sell drinks from Coca-Cola. Love is, if you love your wife, you'll buy her the Lexus, right? In the commercial with a big bow on top. Disney uses love to sell movies. And Walmart even uses it to sell flowers. Love is everywhere. And we think we have it all figured out. Love, love, love. Now this reminds me of a quote from one of my favorite movies. You keep using that word, I don't think it means what you think it means. This love is very different than that kind of love in our life. We think we have our love figured out, but God's love is so much more. We're talking about a different kind of love here. This is God's love, and God's love is vast. It is an expanse that we can't even understand. So when we read this passage, we actually have to mentally put the word God's love when we say love so we know what we're talking about here. Okay, this is not like Hallmark love. I'm going to read that section again and interject the word God's love there. Beloved, let us love one another with God's love. For God's love is from God, and everyone who loves like God loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, the one who does not love like God loves does not know God. For God is love. God is love. God is the source of love, but not all love comes from God. Let me give you an example. Bluebell is ice cream, but not all ice cream is Bluebell. You know what I mean? You invite people over for dinner, they're supposed to bring the dessert. You serve them a great meal, and they're supposed to bring the ice cream. Your standard, your setting is Bluebell. You get there, you open the bag from Walmart, you pull it out, and there's a penguin on the box. And you think, this is not what I had in mind. It may be ice cream, but it is no Bluebell. You know what I mean? We have a standard there. God's love is so much more vast than that. God's love is so different. It's not like our love. God is love, but not all love comes from God. Not the kind of love that we mess up all the time. God's love versus we often hurt those we love. There's nothing in God's love that can equate to that. We fall in and out of love. We pass notes in school. Do you love me? Yes or no? Circle one. Remember those? There's nothing in God's love that's like that. It is so far beyond what we understand and what we often express in our relationships with each other. God's love is not like our love. It is awesome. It is complete. It is, from the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Is this the kind of love we see in our culture? No. Is this the kind of love we see in our city? What about in this church? Kinda. We try. We do. We do a great job. Is this the kind of love we see in our heart? That's personal. But no, it's not. God is the source of love. And this is what God's love looks like. If we are scored by this, how do we measure up? If this is an Olympic event and that is a standard, are we even in the right arena? Are we even running in the same event? This is so foreign and different than the way that we often show love. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God is love. We are God's children. We're born of God. Thus, we love, right? We're born of God. John, this same John, wrote the Gospel of John, John 1:12. Those who believe in his name shall be given the right to be called children of God. A couple chapters later, he tells Nicodemus, what must a man do to be born again? He tells him, you must be born again. Those born of God. God is love. We're born of God. If we're Christians and we believe what Christ did on the cross, paid for our sin, we have faith in that, we are born of God. If God is love and we're born of God, then why is it so difficult? Where's the disconnect here? Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Somehow our ability to love is wrapped up in our knowledge of God. Those two things are hand in hand. Now, some read this passage and say, those who do not love are not Christians. They don't know God at all. They don't know who he is. That's a possibility. Therefore, you need to become a Christian, a child of God. If God is the source of love, then it is impossible for you to love without knowing the source. You are incapable of this love without a relationship with God. Absolutely true. Others would look at this and say this is about believers. Those who do not love like this, those who do not love to this extent, those who do not measure up to this, do not know God the way they should know God. They do not have this experiential knowledge of God. They do not really understand what he has done and what we ought to do in response to that. They need to be discipled. They need to be mentored. They need to grow. They need to develop this relationship with God. Either way you look at it, if God's a source of love, we have some work to do. If we're not believers, we need to know the God of love. We need to recognize what he has done for us. His unfathomable love. His unending love. His incomprehensible love. The things that he has done for us. And if we do know God, we have work to do. We need to grow in our relationship with him. We need to know him better. We need to learn to live through his love. Just knowing that God is the source of love is not where he ends. Verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. God is the source of love. Sacrifice is the evidence of love. Sacrifice is the absolute evidence of love. Daniel Aiken wrote in the American Commentary, John states that believers are to love first because love is the very nature of God. to whom they belong and of whom they are partakers. And second, because the incredible manner in which God's love was displayed. Because of the incredible manner in which God's love was displayed. Sometimes I like to look at a verse in different translations of the Bible. The very beginning of that in the NIV says, this is how God showed his love among us. In the NLT, it says, God showed how much he loved us by. In the New King James, in this the love of God was manifested. In the NET Bible, by this the love of God was revealed in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Only begotten Son. Sounds familiar, right? John uses this phrase, only begotten Son, the uniqueness of Christ, so that we might live through him. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love. God sent this one and only Son so that we might live through him. How can we live through him? How can we do that? Apparently, we couldn't live without him, because the Bible says that we were dead in our sins before he gave us new life. In Ephesians 2, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgression, it is by grace you have been saved. How can we live through him if we refuse to love like him? How can we live through him if we refuse to live like him? God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him, verse 9, because sacrifice is the evidence of love. Sometimes loving people is hard. Well, yeah, sacrifice is the evidence of love. Charles Wesley wrote these words almost 275 years ago. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He died for you so that you would live through him. This is a sacrifice. Sacrifice is the evidence of love. He died so that we can live through him. He died so that we can have new life. Sacrifice is the evidence of that love. Verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He paid the price of God's wrath with his own life, his death. The New Living Translation reads like this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is love. Do you need an example? Do you need any kind of evidence? Here it is. Sacrifice is the evidence of love. Do you need to see what that looks like? You look at the cross. Do you want to know how to live like this? How to love like this? We look at Jesus Christ and his life. Look at sacrifice. His sacrifice is all the evidence we need to see God's love. He did it for us. The sinners that we are, we have a hard time loving people sometimes because look at them. They're not like us. We may not like them. One theologian writes, in this verse, the purpose in sending the Son is not the incarnation, but the atonement. God sent his Son to die. Further, God's love is primary, not ours. The death of Christ is extolled, not the birth. Our act was to sin. God's act was to love and send his Son. Love is always demonstrated by actions. It's not abstract. It's never complacent or static. This marvelous act was prompted not by man's love for God, but God's love for man. So that the sending of God's Son was both the revelation of his love and indeed the very essence of love itself. It is not our love that is primary, but God's. Free, uncaused, spontaneous. All our love is but a reflection of His and a response to it. He goes on to say, the origin of love lies beyond human effort and initiative. Left to ourselves, we would not love Him. We would hate Him and we would oppose Him. It took His boundless sacrificial love to break our hearts of stone and bring us to Himself. The Apostle Paul sums this up beautifully in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sacrifice is the evidence of love. So how should we respond? If God is the source of love and sacrifice is the evidence of love, what are we supposed to do? Why do we do it? What does it really look like? Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. God is the source of love. Sacrifice is that evidence of love. And God's glory is the purpose of love. God's glory is absolutely the purpose of love. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I didn't write the Bible, and you're happy with that. But if I had, I would have thought a word better than ought should be used there, right? If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. How about we're demanded to love one another? We're commanded we love one another. We're forced to love one another. But the writer used the word ought. The Greek word here is ophilo, which we translate as ought. It actually implies to owe something. It's used in financial debts. We are obligated. We are indebted. We owe Him. We can never pay back what He did. We can never earn what He did. But we owe Him our life to love one another. We are in debt to Jesus, so we ought to love one another. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Well, let's face it. Sometimes we do a really good job of making Jesus look really dumb. We do things that make Christianity and the kingdom look really silly to the world. We put a fish on our car and we pull out in front of other people and block them off, right? You have a bumper sticker on your car that says, I love Jesus, and you drive like a crazy person. True story, I'll be honest here. I got a voicemail one night on the Our Calling hotline. You know I drive the van, it has our number on there. And the voicemail said, if you're going to drive like an idiot, you shouldn't have your number on the van. Sometimes we make Jesus look really dumb. But John gives us a statement about how we can glorify God by our love to each other. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. However, people are watching us all the time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. They will see God's love perfected in us. When we love each other, we glorify God. When we love each other, we glorify Him. John, the same guy, recorded in the Gospel of John in chapter 13 the words of Jesus Christ. He said this, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. God's glory is the purpose of love. That's why we're to love one another. Not just because it makes us feel good, because it makes Him look good. We love one another to represent Him to our broken world. We love one another to give Him all the glory. The final result is that all people will know that our God is great by what they see in us. Now, most of what they see in us doesn't make our God look great. But God's love is the standard. We're not trying to outpace each other in a race. We're trying to honor Him in what we can do in loving each other. I have 4 kids. And sometimes they are laughing and playing together, the most lovely, loving family on the planet. Sometimes they're sharing with each other, and they're polite with each other, and they're respectful with each other, and that honors the Lord. And if people see that, that brings glory to God. When the tornado hit our neighborhood in Diamond Creek, we rushed home. We saw it on the news. We rushed home. We were all at the office, and we got there to see if our dog was still there and if the house was still there, and it was. And we picked up the trash in our yard, and then we went to pick up the trash in different neighbors' yards for the next few days. That's all we did, was go out and try to help people. Not because it brought us any glory, because we wanted to love one another. We wanted to love other people to bring glory to God. And when my kids do that, they do things to honor the Lord. But on the other hand, those same kids, sometimes they're almost as bad as your kids. I mean, I've seen them. Sometimes they're real sinners doing real sinful stuff. And sometimes they don't love one another. And sometimes their acts don't show love to one another. And you laugh, but you know it's true. And when your kids come to my house, I see the same thing. And when my kids go to your house, you see the same thing. And you know they learned it from us. Sometimes we don't love each other. Our kids aren't the only ones who fail to love each other. We love each other when it's convenient. We love each other when we get credit, when the sacrifice is minimal, when we don't have to stay up late, when we don't have to get up early, and when it doesn't cost us any money. We'll love you about this far. If I got to go further than that, I'm busy. We'll love you as long as we don't have to give up our playtime. We'll love you, but sometimes our motives are impure. If sacrifice is what God calls us to, then who gets the glory? Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God. Maybe we don't know God as well as we should. Maybe we don't know and understand exactly what He did for us and how vast His love is and how far He wants us to go for each other. Why did we build that new building? Is it the glory and the size of our new electricity bill? Look at what we did. How cool we are. We have a big building. Maybe it's because we want to love each other. Maybe it's because families in this body sacrificed. Not to build a bigger building, but to build walls that would fit the ministry that God is doing here in the lives of people. Maybe it's because we wanted to sacrifice and love each other and help provide for a facility that would facilitate the ministry that God is doing in our lives and the lives of families all around this place. Maybe there's a greater purpose. It's because it brings God glory. That's why we built a building. Not to say, look at us and who we are. You see, God's glory is the purpose of love. God's glory is why we are to love each other. God's glory is why Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. His glory is why He saved a wretch like you and me. God's glory is why we must strive to love each other with the love of God. Athletes don't become Olympians without sacrifice. I love watching these kids win an Olympic, the medal. They'll win the medal and they say, I've wanted this my whole life. You're like 14, you know? Besides watching SpongeBob, yeah. But no, these kids are out there, and some of these adults are out there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if they could fit it in 8 days a week, learning and practicing this. This is not something we do every day. I'm not going to get up and go run the 400 hurdle. I'm going to be like tumbling if I try to do that. I've got to learn this I've got to practice this. I've got to show up every day and I have to sacrifice. That's what real love looks like. We aren't doing this to win a medal. We're loving each other to give him the medal. We give him the glory and we need to practice God's love, his sacrificial love. Here's what this means in real life. It means if your neighbor is working on his car after dark, you need to go over there and see if he needs help. It means if there's a family in this church that has a need, you need to ask the leadership how you can help that need anonymously. Why anonymously? Because who are you trying to give the credit to? It means when we move into the new building and we enjoy the space that God has provided and we look at an empty space and think, man, there needs to be some furniture here, then we need to continue to sacrifice to provide for that. It means next Saturday, men and women in this body will sacrifice some of their playtime to come up here and plant landscaping around the building and paint old walls to make them look like new, to love one another and love this community, to bring glory to God. Not to hang a badge at the end of the day with paint smeared on their face to say, look what I did, but to bring glory to the King. If you know of a way that you can love someone in this church, please don't wait for the right moment. Don't wait to be asked. Be first to move. Sacrifice as big as you can for one another. Do you want to love like God? Then you have to love one another to the same extent that God has loved us. God is the source of love. Sacrifice is that evidence of real love. And God's glory is the purpose of love. What we're called to do here in this book is to love one another. No catchy phrase, no amazing title, just the words of Christ, which is pretty catchy and pretty amazing. And his example was complete in the way that he showed us how to love one another. How far are we to go? How far is enough? How far did he go for you? If we consider for a moment how far he went for us, we should never ask the question, how far should we love each other? And why are we supposed to love like this? Because it brings glory to God. It makes him look good. If we don't love like this, will the world ever know what Christ really looks like? God's love is the standard, and only when loving him like that can we score a perfect 10. We're not in competition with each other. We're trying to bring glory to the King. And how far did he go? And how far are we willing to go? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that your word not only instructs us, but challenges us to love one another, not to keep up with the Joneses, but to honor you with every breath and every beat of our heart. Lord, we want to love people the way you love people. We want to love people to the extent that you loved us. Lord, give us the grace and the strength and the energy and the perseverance to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.